Welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 117. Oh, by the way, Geek Tyrant Weekly is our podcast. I just forgot to say podcast earlier.
People don't know what they're listening to.
They don't.
Yeah.
You never know.
Someone went on the internet and hit shuffle. That's what happened.
First time listener, last time caller type thing. That didn't make any sense. All right, anyway, I am your host, Dr. Vakeman, and joining us on our panel today, we have Mazer.
Hello, I am Mazer, and this is my voice.
Now, Mazer is our guest today. He starred on a 1990s television series called American Gladiators.
Yes. The original full name was Mazer All-Star, but I'm not on the show anymore. It's kind of too long, so I'm just shortening it to Mazer.
Awesome.
And I, of course, dominated, the maze, which is where it came from. So if you remember that event.
Maze domination.
Few people remember that event. So if you don't remember me, that's okay.
Nice. Tiberius is also joining us. Hello.
I was not a contestant on American Gladiators, but I was a regular tune-in. I watched the show on a regular basis, and that made no sense. That's okay.
You were also the captain of the Starship Enterprise.
That is correct, but in my spare time, I watched a heck of a lot of American Gladiators.
All right. And Ben P.
How's it going, guys?
Ben, I don't...
Yeah, there's no way to integrate me into the conversation.
You were such a big character on 90210 that I think we don't even need to introduce what you've done for the show.
Excuse me while I stab myself with a samurai sword for being associated with 90210 on a geek podcast. But
I love that you had to pull out a samurai sword to stab yourself.
Your honor has been hurt.
Okay, so let's jump into some box office numbers real quick, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
This weekend, X-Men First Class came in at number one at $55.1 million, and we will talk about this movie. Number two, The Hangover Part 2 at $31.3 million. Man, it's made over $185 million since it's been out, so you could... And that's just domestic, so you can bet your ass that we'll see a part three.
Oh, yeah.
Number three, Kung Fu Panda 2, $23.8 million. And number four, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tide, $17.9. And hanging in at number five is, in my opinion, one of the funniest movies of the year, Bridesmaids at $12.0 million. Nice. I didn't have to throw in the zero. I just did because I could. Anyway, so X-Men First Class was the big movie this weekend.
Name's Xavier. Charles Xavier. How do you do?
Cheers.
So much more to you than you know.
My son!
Not just pain and anger. There's good in you too. I mean, you can harness all that. You possess a power no one can match. Not even me.
Did everybody see this movie?
I saw it.
Yes.
Yes.
And I did as well.
Man,
so
that's the first time in a while, I think, that we've all seen the movie.
Well, yeah. It is X-Men First Class, and I think it's one that we've all been kind of waiting to see.
Yep.
So let's see. Let's get into it. Who liked it? Who hated it? Who will never watch it again? Who will watch it over and over? Who enjoyed it more than the first three?
I like how you're automatically assuming that it's just a like or like a love or hate thing. You're only giving us the option to be on the polar extremes.
There can be no middle ground with X-Men First Class.
Mazer, okay. why don't you start us off?
If you want to throw in some middle ground stuff, you can. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say after X-Men, what was the name of the third one? X-Men, like...
Last Stand.
I was going to say X-Men Apocalypse, but anyway. Yeah, after that movie, this looks amazing in comparison. just all the actors in it, just, you know, you could just read off the cast to someone. They're like, yeah, I'll watch that. And even among people who are not, like, comic book geeks. I was talking to my brother today, and his wife is very much not a comic book geek. And she was like, X-Men First Class looks good. So, and I think it's mostly because of the time period, and it's just like an interesting era in, you know, it's something that we completely take for granted, which is like this, you know, threat of nuclear annihilation. And it's a really interesting time to set against, you know, this rising race of superhumans. So, I really enjoyed the movie. I think a lot of the action was really well done. There are a few parts in it that are I was hoping for them to stretch to later. Maybe when we start to get into spoilers, I can talk about that. But I very much enjoyed the film. If you enjoyed the first two X-Men films, you're definitely going to enjoy this.
I'm just going to go out there and say that X-Men First Class is my number one favorite X-Men film. I liked it better than Singer. Definitely like it better than Ratner's piece of crap. But but this X-Men First Class is my favorite X-Men film. I mean, they got it right. They nailed the essence of X-Men. And, you know, it wasn't just an action spectacular with big special effects and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, a big epic movie, but there was this story to it that was just so good. And just the story alone, I was just immersed in it while I was watching the movie. And I really cared for the characters in it. I've never ever sympathized with Magneto, you know? But this movie made me sympathize with what he went through and why he did what he did. And even with Xavier and, you know, seeing how all the X-Men, how all the characters kind of had to choose sides and stuff. I mean, that was some pretty awesome, powerful stuff, you know what I mean? And the character development in this was awesome. I think that was my favorite part of the movie was actually getting to know these characters a lot better than how I did know them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Tiberius, what did you think?
It really did a great job of reintroducing the characters and really peeling away at some of the other layers that had been built up over those last X-Men films. And just to reiterate what Joey was saying, what Venkman was saying, sorry about that. To reiterate what Venkman was saying, this movie sold me on X-Men again. It really did. I think this is my favorite. I second what you say, thank you. It's my favorite X-Men film as well. So I loved it. And more importantly than that, this was accessible to audiences outside. Like Mazur said, outside of comic book geeks, which was great.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward to the movie. I had, you know, some pretty decent expectations for it when I went in to check it out, and in all honesty, it really went above what my expectations were. And I honestly, besides some of the stuff at the end where, you know, one of the problems with a lot of movies these days is the ending tends to rush things to get things wrapped up, and I think that would be my biggest complaint with X-Men First Class is that, you know, they rushed to wrap things up. Are we going to get into spoilers?
I think we need to hear about from Ben before
Before I go any further, let's hear from Ben before we go into any spoilers.
I really like this movie a lot, man. I thought it was great. I was not really expecting a lot after X-Men 3, and then, you know, I didn't even see X-Men Origins Wolverine because I heard, you know, from you guys and other people how awful it was. So I wasn't really expecting a ton. I did like Kick-Ass, and, you know, Matthew Vaughn directed this movie, and I was like, okay, well, there's a chance this could be good, especially. But I also had a little bit of, you know, reservations because Matthew Vaughn was at one point attached to direct X3. And I was like, I don't know if, you know, if coming back to the franchise is such a good idea if he left earlier. And this movie has, like, kind of a ridiculous history of, you know, troubled productions and reshoots, and they, you know, it was like really, really rushed the entire production. You know, I think they shot it and edited it and got it all together in 10 months or something.
Yep.
Like 9 or 10 months, which is kind of astounding.
How good it turned out.
Exactly. Yeah, it's astounding for how good the movie ends up being, because you would not know that unless you read about it and stuff. So I thought Matthew Vaughn did a great job. I thought he was, you know, equally effective as a director of you know, a movie that kind of deconstructs the superhero genre like Kick-Ass, as well as, you know, jumping over into something that's actually just a part of the superhero genre with X-Men First Class. And I thought he did a great job with this one, too. I think the casting is phenomenal in this movie. Like, top to bottom, everybody was
amazing.
Great except for January Jones.
Isn't that sad?
It is.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, man, she looks good.
But... Yeah, but the thing is, like, what does her character, what does she have to do? Like, I'm trying to think of an actress that could bring something to that role. And I'm like, no one, I don't think anyone could, because she wasn't really given much to
That's true, but you can have a little bit of emotion, and she doesn't. She's just completely blank-faced the entire time, I think, right? Like, are you guys with me on that?
It doesn't make sense, because she's great in Mad Men. And so, I don't know.
What were you saying, Tiberius?
Well, one thing I was noticing is that this is much better than the last film that she was in with Liam Neeson. And
yes.
What is the name of that? I can't
remember. Unknown.
Unknown, thank you. I had a momentary lapse. But in Unknown, she was even worse in my mind than this. I agree with you, Mazur. I don't really know of any other actress that could fill this role and really bring anything different to the table.
You're probably right.
I was very excited for McAvoy and Fassbender. Their relationship and their chemistry on screen was what made the movie. The other cast was great from top to bottom. You are correct. But that's what really sold the film. Rose Byrne was great. She also stars in Bridesmaids. And I loved her in this, as well. It did not feel like 2 hours. How long was it? 2.5 hours?
It didn't feel like it. It went by fast, though. I wanted to see more.
I know I did, but it's not one of the... It didn't feel like 2.5 hours. Or however.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it, and I like that.
Yeah,
so,
I'm glad that you brought up Rose Byrne, because I thought she was fantastic. And she's like, you know, we've talked about her when we reviewed Get Him to the Greek. We talked about her in Bridesmaids, and now here... And all of those other times, too, we were kind of, like, taken aback by how effective Rose Byrne was in these movies. And, like, I think, you know, the third time is a charm. Now she's officially become an actress that I'm definitely keeping an eye on. And, you know, she's really made an impact on me recently.
I couldn't agree with that more, Ben. That's good. That's a good point. You know who else really stood out to me? Is Banshee. If I'm correct,
he had a really interesting character, right? I liked him.
And he was the star of The Last Exorcism. He starred in that film, and he really, you know, I thought that was actually not as bad of a movie as a lot of people might have said. I thought it was great. But more importantly, is I like to see him in, you know, not getting typecast in the horror genre. Not that there's anything wrong with that, believe me, but you know. As a young actor, a lot of times, you know, I'm glad to see that he's also branching out to a superhero role. And I think that's a great thing. I mean, I also was unhappy. I can't remember that the one, I guess this is a spoiler. Should we, you know, it is a spoiler. You know, when he attacked the one character, the one hero that dies, you know, I did not want to see that happen. That annoyed me. It was unfortunate.
Yep.
Let's just say that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you can add on to it if you want, but that's all I was going to say.
Let's go ahead. Yeah. Like, you know, for anybody who's listening who has not seen X-Men First Class, just go ahead and skip ahead for the next few minutes, because we definitely want to get into some spoilers. So
check the show notes for when it's safe to jump back.
Yeah,
in.
Totally. Tiberius, the guy you're talking about was Darwin, right?
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that was like...
I liked him as a character. I wanted to see more of him. I mean, but then again, who else would have died? I would have been fine if no one had died. You know what I mean? Or maybe one had died later on. And
Someone had to die.
It maybe. Should have been Angel the stripper, because she was kind of a worthless character.
She chose the dark side.
Yeah, and she was a pretty weak villainess, right?
And those kind of things right there are kind of like the big buggy points for me on the movie. Just how she turned so easily like that.
Yeah.
How all of a sudden it was like she was sporting the. Yeah, I'm bad look. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, she just, you know, maybe it's just in her blood. I don't know. The other thing that I was going to mention earlier, too, was at the end of the film when Xavier gets the bolt in the back, mm-hmm. right? He's just laying there like, oh, crap, this hurts like hell. I've been shot. Someone help me. And Raven, who grew up with this guy, since she was a kid, the guy that he practically raised her, and she barely. I mean, yeah, she. There's that moment where she, you know, covers her mouth and she looks all freaked out, but it's like, you know, I'm gonna go join Magneto now.
She's not in love with him anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know.
To give her a little bit of credit, like, she does, you know, the movie kind of does a good job of faking you out there, because Magneto is standing right next to Xavier at that point, and you know, it's all about which direction is she going to go. Is she going to walk straight to Magneto, or is she going to go over and see if Xavier's all right? And she actually does go check to see if he's okay, and then...
Yeah,
like, and even though he's not, like, okay, she goes to him first, and it is essentially, like, their final... meeting, you know, like, just to give that a little bit of closure, and she's like, all right, I'm going with him. Like,
I just think it was a sucky moment, you know.
I think the reaction was the big part for me.
Her initial reaction. It was a sad moment, you know, because you have these two best friends, and then all of a sudden, you know, that have grown up together, and then all of a sudden it's just like, well, that's over now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it was just me not wanting to see that happen.
Wanting it to end.
Even though I knew it was going to happen, I had to, you know, but still.
No, now this is something me and Ben went back and forth over Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I was really hoping that that we would actually see the Xavier Charles split happen in like movie 3 and not at the end of this movie, that it built up to it, that like there was a real friendship and not like we were best friends forever over period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. That would have been cool to see. I would have liked to see that, but that's over. We're not going to see it.
Yeah. So. We're not going to see that.
I mean, I think, I think the reason that I'm not necessarily in 100% agreement with you guys on this, because I think the reason that this movie is a good prequel is because it does like kind of set it like all the stuff that needs to happen happens by the end of the movie. It doesn't feel like a setup for a sequel, although obviously if it does well, there is plenty of room for a sequel. But it feels like a complete film, and I love the movie for that. I you know, something like Sherlock Holmes or something that came out recently, it just seems like the first part of a saga, and this feels like it is that to some degree, but it's also a movie that you can just watch on its own, and it's got a story that begins and then ends within the confines of that movie. So I kind of like it for that. It's not like the Star Wars prequels where you know what you're getting into with these characters and stuff, and you're just going to watch them grow over the course of three movies. I kind of liked that they were just like, okay, let's make all these big character moments happen within one movie. I don't know. That's just – I found it a little bit refreshing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll back you up there, Ben, because I did too. And from what I've read, I don't know if you guys saw this, we posted this on the site, but there's plans potentially for the next story, for the next film, to really revolve around Kennedy's assassination and Magneto's involvement in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, which to me would be epic.
I want that movie.
I love that.
I want it to happen.
I do too.
Was it Vaughn?
Yeah, correct.
It was talking about like that would explain the magic bullet, and because all the credit for the Cuban Missile Crisis went to Kennedy, Magneto's not happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also probably after this, based on the ending of this film, he, they were set pretty much to go to wage war against, against mutants.
Yeah.
I think that's a big factor right there. And he's going to, knowing how Magneto is and his makeup as a character, I think that he would want to probably, so it makes sense. It's a logical jump that he would want to, go on the offensive and attack. So,
Yeah, and I think Matthew Vaughn also said in an interview really recently, like this, within the past few days, that he's got all these big grand plans for a potential sequel to First Class, and he was saying that, like, if people are calling this one epic, wait until they see what I've got in store for the next one. It's not just the Kennedy assassination, it's going to be on, like, a much larger scale, so
I'm sure that will just be one piece.
Yeah.
The moon in space? Gotta be what it is?
Maybe.
That would be awesome. That would be.
I also read that the creator of Cable, the character of Cable, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the X-Men universe, but there's this guy named Cable who's like kind of a time-traveling bounty hunter type of guy, for lack of a better...
Weird.
They're talking about maybe trying to get him into this next movie, which would be awesome because we've never seen him on screen before.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And they're talking about Stephen Lang from Avatar maybe trying to be that part. Because, like, the guy who created Cable sent out, like, a Twitter message and was like, please, everybody, make this happen or something. So,
if I'm not mistaken, isn't Cable the son of a Jean Grey clone that gets sent into the future?
That's very possible. I kind of dropped off on my X-Men.
That's an interesting bit.
Yeah, okay.
Like right after the animated series came to a close, that's when I kind of stopped with like getting really, really into X-Men until the movies came back around. So yeah, I'm a little down on my Cable lore. So apologies.
What'd you guys think of the cameo?
The cameos?
Lame.
No, the cameos.
They were all right.
Did you say lame, Tiberius?
Yeah. Yes.
What did you want them to be?
No, I didn't want them to be anything. I thought Hugh Jackman's and that. I just thought it was. I don't know. I didn't care for it. I have no idea.
It's the best. I think was it Damon Lindelof that tweeted it was the best use of the F word in any PG-13 rated movie ever.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
yeah.
Funny. That's a good point.
I think the movie's better with those cameos than without.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the cameos. I kind of dug it.
Although I do have one pretty big nitpick against the movie is Beast does not look good. Like when he was talking, it did not look like.
I agree.
It looked like they had to ADR that thing because.
I will say that, because they did rush the movie out so fast, I noticed a lot of special effects kind of, I noticed a lot of the special effects were a little not finished. There were like things blowing up and things happening, but they weren't touching each other. And I don't know. I just noticed a lot of little things that I was like, I guess they had to rush that.
Yeah.
But see, I didn't notice any of that on the flip side. I didn't. And I usually pay attention to that stuff. I thought visual effects, special effects, both, I thought everything was good.
I'm right there with you. I didn't notice anything either.
Well, sorry, guys.
I just wasn't looking close enough, I guess. But,
I know.
One thing that I wanted to mention that I really love about First Class is that the way it seems to take what made each of the first couple movies great and combine them into one movie. You know, like the first movie, there's that kind of like uncertainty about growing into your powers and like the whole like, are we alone in the world type of thing. And then in X2, which you guys were talking about how First Class is your favorite X-Men movie, and I think X2 still holds as my personal favorite of the ones that exist so far. In X2, Magneto is kind of a stand-in for Wolverine. You know, he's like the loner badass who, you know, it has got like a chip on his shoulder and a military guy, you know, in his sights. And doesn't really, you know, he's kind of coming to grips with his past and stuff like that. So I think they did a good job of kind of just making him be like a cipher almost for Wolverine from X2. And then also like in X3, which, you know, there's not a lot of great stuff, very, very few great things about X3, but an interesting part of that movie is the whole like finding a cure for mutants that they, you know, that whole big subplot and stuff. And they threw a little bit of that in here in First Class as well with Beast and Mystique, you know, the blue people basically trying to make themselves normal or whatever, and that actually like comes back to bite Beast in the ass basically. But
stupid Beast.
But yeah, I just thought it was kind of cool how they're like, okay, let's take the parts of this series as a whole that work and then put them all together in one movie. So
all right, well, if you haven't seen the movie yet, I highly recommend checking it out. Definitely one of the better films of the year. Does anybody else have anything to say about the First Class?
Yeah, one tiny thing. I think movies. There are a couple movies that would have fallen into the trap of just because this is a prequel, just making it like nod, nod, wink, wink, nudge, nudge things for the entire film, you know. And there are a lot of those moments in this movie, but I feel like, Venkman, you were talking in the beginning how the story is so solid all the way through. I think the story is solid enough to be a good through line for people to follow and not get too distracted by that stuff if you don't want
to. Exactly.
Because, you know, they're like, the Blackbird is here, and Beast builds Cerebro, and, you know, there's, like, Xavier makes reference to being bald, and, like, all these little things that are just kind of, like, throw-outs and kind of shout-outs and stuff to what's going to come later. But I don't feel like the movie gets mired down in those references, and I feel like a lesser movie very easily could have gotten caught up in that. So I just wanted to praise the film for not doing that.
Sounds good. I will say Oliver Platt died pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah. He was a little underused.
I was kind of like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, the second you're no longer useful to the story, they're just going to die.
That's it. You're done. You're over. It's finished.
Although, like many X-Men comic books, people don't ever really die. And Xavier never really ever stays crippled, apparently, too. The amount of times he's able to get his legs back, surprising.
Yeah. We'll see what they do with the sequel, hopefully. If, you know, fingers crossed for all the major people and Matthew Vaughn coming back for a sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? Darwin could come back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you never know.
I like Vince from Film Drunk in his review. The very last part of it is like, if you're trying to be PC, you probably shouldn't kill off the black guy first. Which I thought was funny because that's exactly what they do in this movie. They give Darwin like 15 minutes of screen time and then he dies almost instantly.
That reminds me, there was like one scene where they were talking about how mankind was going to enslave the mutants, and then they cut to him.
Yeah.
And like, people in the audience laugh. Like,
really? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I thought that too. I was like, what?
It's like, oh man, you cut to the black guy. Oh, don't do that.
It wasn't like they cut to him and you felt like, oh yeah, it's like deep. It was like, dude, what?
Like, no, no, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, well. You know what we didn't talk about at all was Kevin Bacon. What did you guys think about Kevin Bacon?
He
was fine.
He was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
He wasn't bad.
He wasn't anything that was like, you know, I've seen him do better stuff, but
yeah.
He was good in it. I mean, he took on the role and pulled it off. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
He just did it, you know? And I like this performance. But
his performance was better in Hollow Man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. He's been way better in way better films, but I think, you know,
I was joking about Hollow Man though.
I think he was done. He did what he was required to do for this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. He didn't overshadow the main characters.
I thought it was a cool way that he died. So.
Yeah, that was a cool shot. Yeah.
That was. I like that. Cool. All right, guys. Well, the E3 Expo is in town, Los Angeles Convention Center. It started today, and there was just a ton of stuff that was shown off, announcements, all kinds of cool stuff going on there. We just wanted to kind of go through some of that stuff and just talk about what surprises we saw, kind of what looks cool. What are you guys thinking here? I guess I'll start since I've pretty much watched everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tiberius watched everything too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
mm-hmm.
much almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the convention, for me, I think one of the coolest surprises was that Halo 4 is actually happening. I'm a huge fan of the Halo video game franchise, and interview after interview, they kept saying, you know, that Halo Reach, that was going to be the final Halo game.
Well, from Bungie.
From Bungie. And, you know, I tried to keep tabs on it and stuff, but nothing was popping up. You know, nothing really came up on it online or anything. It was just, it almost looked as if it really wasn't going to happen. Then all of a sudden today, right before the Microsoft panel launched, it leaked out that, oh yeah, looks like they're going to announce Halo 4. And then when they did, I was kind of like, awesome.
Yeah, I think a page or something. I was watching a little bit of the pre-show before the Microsoft E3.
Yeah.
And one of the guys from Kotaku was talking about how a page of something had leaked, and on that page they had said Halo 4. I was like, wow, that sounds pretty good. I've got to say this, the coverage today, you know, even though I'm not in LA, I'm over here in Jersey on the East Coast, I felt like I was right there. I really got to say they did a great job of the game trailers on G4. You know, Spike TV doing that live stream. You know, I thought it was a great, great job, and E3 does a great job of that. And I think today's you know, major reveals were pretty epic, and there were some great things we should be pretty excited about, I think. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for Halo 4. It's going to be the first in a new trilogy.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's the surprising thing to me, because I've been completely out of the loop today. But the first in a new trilogy? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the trailer, the teaser, the announcement trailer that they had was pretty much at the very end of Halo 3, Master Chief, you just see this ship explode, and then there's a funeral. You know, and you're like, well, there's no way they could have killed off Master Chief. And so the announcement trailer shows what Master Chief getting out of it and how he escaped that explosion thing.
Nice.
So
actually, isn't it at the end of Halo 3 post credits, there's him going into hibernation with Cortana.
Yeah, I forgot about the post credits, man.
And then what you're seeing is him,
coming out
of deep sleep.
Damn.
To save humanity for something.
I better change that. I totally forgot about the post credits.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Man, I think we can give you a little bit of a break, Joey, seeing as how there's been an insane amount of
You
posts.
Can give me a break, but the readers won't.
I know. Hey, the readers and listeners, give us a little bit of a break. If we make it slip up, we are on our best. We're gonna get that fixed, so no need to worry.
No way, guys. They expect excellence 24/7.
They do.
This is like the Olympics of geek posting.
It is.
Must be perfect. 9, 10s all the time.
But the thing is honestly, today it's been like post after post after post. No title mess ups. Everything's been very clean, very clear. It's even we've been working at a fast pace and things have been like perfect. So
nice.
Anyway, let's see, what else we got? One of the other cool things is that was announced earlier this week, but they showed the trailer today was Paramount Pictures releasing, or Paramount Interactive Entertainment releasing a new Star Trek game for the first time. You know, the whole thing is for the first time you'll be able to play with Kirk and Spock in a co-op mode.
Nice.
And yep. The one thing though is it's based on Abrams Star Trek.
See, that does not bother.
It doesn't bother me either.
It feels like it makes more sense as it's a more action-packed movie series.
Yeah.
A more action-oriented game just makes sense, right?
Yep.
And I guess I'm one of the only people, I mean, not one of the only, but I'm one of the people that definitely feel that I'm so happy with Abrams and Star Trek, and I'm on that front. So I'm on that side anyway, so this game is exciting to me. And I don't know the shooter aspect of it to me. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure how I'd feel about that, but seeing it in the trailer,
yes, really, kind of seeing really it in action, good. Looks really cool. Yeah,
If they do it anything like Mass Effect, where it's actually it's got RPG elements to it, and you upgrade your tech, and you use tactics and all sorts of smart things like that, I think it could be really fun.
Yeah,
I think there is that. That's the feeling I got from it, Mazer. So I mean, we have a lot to be excited about.
Now, I only watched the trailer, but is this attached to the movie that's being released in 2012?
Yes. It's going to be in conjunction with that. Now, granted, we recently found out that, they're not going to make that 2012 window. Possibly.
Yeah, there's it's in the same universe, but I don't know if it's going to connect at all with the next movie.
Yeah,
they really haven't even written the script. They have a 70 page outline for the next movie. So
it sounds like more script than a Michael Bay film. Just saying.
Yeah, right. So they have that going for them, but all in all, they don't have they have the outline and not the official solid story down yet. So
pages sounds like a story. I just probably not detailed dialogue and.
Yeah. And now that, but it has to be approved and it has to go through the studio system and who knows how much is going to get changed in the process of that from what's in that 70 pages. Now that Abrams is finished with Super 8, they are going to he's going to start focusing on this. He still hasn't said if he's going to direct it or not, but he is going to go in and start helping out with the story, flushing out the script, and all that kind of thing. So
things will move quicker, I think.
Yeah. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception has kind of been around for a while, but this game I'm looking forward to it. I love the Uncharted video game franchise. For me, it's like, Mazer and I have talked about this when Uncharted 2 came out. Like, dude, this is just as good as a movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're just playing it. And I'm really excited for Uncharted 3. It's going to be in 3D. And from what I've been hearing, the 3D will be... They're comparing it. They're saying Uncharted 3 will be the avatar of 3D video games. So
nice.
Whatever that means. And then Sony announced that they have this new 3D system with a screen and everything that people can go out and buy, which I thought was interesting. And I think it's, how much did they say it was? Like $400 for a full package?
$499, you get a full package. You get the 24-inch 3D TV screen. You get Resistance 3 as part of their sharpshooter bundle. And I know you get an HDMI cable. I think the two sets of glasses.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much everything you need to get up and rolling into the 3D game world, if you will.
Passive, so, passive or active?
I don't know specs on that.
What's the ones with the shutters?
Active.
It's active. Okay. It's the 3D glasses with batteries, which I'm not a big fan of, but whatever. On top of that, I don't know if a 24-inch screen's gonna do it
for playing
video games in 3D. I just don't think that's worth it.
But I think if you have an experience where it's just like, you know, you're in a dorm or you know.
Yeah, college student,
you have a place instead of having this dead, you know, because for a 3D TV, you need to have a pretty optimal setup for that 3D to look right. And, you know, a 24-inch screen, you only have to be about 2-3 feet from it, so.
Yeah.
I think it's great for a second room, for a game room in a house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really not that bad of a price point either. So it really, I think what this does is it makes it the technology accessible to a wider audience and really makes the game, hopefully we'll see more games using the 3D tech. Now, you know, that's my hope. So.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it though. So.
Yeah, 3D or not, I'm buying it.
I'm just excited. Yeah, I'm just excited for it.
Uncharted is like my favorite video game franchise of all time, so I'm totally right there with you guys.
Awesome. There's Batman Arkham City.
Yep.
Which looks like it's going to be pretty badass. Excited for that one. Loved Arkham Asylum, so.
The animation and the story looks pretty cool on this.
Yeah, and so. I like that you can play Catwoman in it.
Yep. Yeah.
They showed some footage of that, and it looks like it'll be fun to play.
That's good.
What about you, Tiberius? Any movie, any video games that kind of?
I'll tell you what, the Dust 514 is really kind of an ambitious and epic looking game. It seems like shooter, especially with the Sony, shooters were the really big games for Sony. I mean, it's a big game for Xbox. Those genre of games are big for Xbox as well. But I don't know. I think Dust 514 really, from what I gather, you can play it on multiple platforms. Plus it has Move, and it's going to also be available for NGP or the PlayStation Vita. So that was pretty interesting. One other interesting thing to touch on is the fact that the Vita is going to be exclusive to AT&T. It's going to have a price point of, for the Wi-Fi, it's going to have a price point of close to $249, $250.
I missed this, but is the Vita the PlayStation? Okay.
Next generation PSP, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's basically going to be $300 for 3G enabled on the exclusive on AT&T. So, I don't know. I'm guessing that's a big thing with the big benefit for them with the T-Mobile and the integration of that. Let's just hope that goes well. That gets in there and really, you know, I don't know. It looked awesome. I think it means the 3DS is ridiculously. I don't even care about that anymore. I'm focused strictly on this. If I'm a gamer, I don't know.
Just a few other games that they showed some stuff for. They had some stuff for Resistance 3, which looked great. Yeah. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. which looks pretty awesome. I like the Modern Warfare games, and yeah. Definitely up the ante with this one. So it looks like it's going to be pretty fun. They've got Mass Effect 3 coming out, which is going to be pretty incredible.
That's my favorite franchise series.
That looks incredible.
A very long game, though. Very long. And then, like, they have... Gosh, I can't even think of how many, like, downloadable episodes there have been for, like, the second part. But, yeah.
The BioShock in Infinite look pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I like the BioShock games. So it looks like it'll be a fun one. Then we've got Ghost Recon Future Soldier. I actually played that at E3 last year, just one of their demos, and it was pretty cool. I had fun with that one. But out of everything, though, I think the game that is just that looks insanely incredible, in my mind, just kind of blows everything else away, is that Battlefield 3. That game just... That game just looks beautiful.
I've missed that. I gotta go check that out now.
That's one I need to see, too.
haven't seen the Battlefield 3 stuff?
No.
Holy cow. Wow, you guys are missing out.
I will check it out, believe me.
Oh yeah, you have to watch that. That stuff just blew me away at the stuff that they did with that game. It's a first person shooter, but a war game, but damn it. I mean, it seriously, it takes you in the heat of battle.
You know, I love those types of games. So this is right up my alley.
And not only that, but just the graphics and everything around it is just so realistic. It's scary.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, there's a couple new trailers and some game footage on the post I did. So yeah, everything's there to check out. But yeah, that game looks pretty badass. Out of everything, I mean, that is like one of my most highly anticipated video games. Nice. Battlefield 3.
What do you guys think of this Need for Speed game? It looks really different than what they've done
before. It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It has more out of the car. There's even more out of the car experience than what I'm familiar. Has that always been the case? I mean,
No, you've never.
I would say no. That's pretty.
In fact, I don't think you ever see anything other than like the. I mean, they've had some like weird like cartoon animated things, and they've had like quote race girls and things like that. But Need for Speed is one of those franchises that always tries to do something really weird and new.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it'll be fun. I mean, most of the games that they're showing do look cool. Even some of the new games that I've never really gotten into or I've never heard of before until today. There's some stuff out there that looks like it would be fun to play. Unfortunately, at the same time, I don't know if I'd go out of my way to buy it to play it, but it looks cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's funny that some people are saying like, "Oh, I can't wait for the PS4 or the Xbox 720." It's like, "Well, they just released PlayStation Move and Kinect. Guess what? You're not getting a new console for 3 or 4 years."
We don't need a new. I don't want to go out and buy another
console. I'm fine with this.
I'm happy.
Yeah. They're still finding room in, you know, to make these games look better than they did. So,
yeah, so just let them do their thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now I'm really thinking, you know, the Redbox by me is starting to push out the game rentals. So I'm really excited about that. And, you know, I'm thinking about looking into Gamefly. I don't know. I'm not doing a spokesperson thing here for it.
I had Gamefly for a couple of years, and if you really want to burn a lot of time, you can play a lot of video games.
See, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, with the cost of games being what they are, I've got to be willing to bet. I'm willing to bet that
games are decently priced. I just, you know, if you guys remember like
$59.99 for me is a lot. So
yeah, but if you guys remember like buying consoles, hardware, just the huge chip. I'm blanking now.
Game Genie.
Not Game Genie. Not a disc. It used to come on cartridges.
Cartridges
used to cost like $100 at least for the games.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's a cartridge.
Yeah, there's a whole generation of kids who will never know what that is.
I know. It's kind of weird. It's kind of sad, too.
I know. In retrospect, you're right. I mean, the whole cost is not that bad, but...
And they're giving us way more game than we got as a kid. I've got looking back at those games now, like you can go through and like there's a lot of emulators and stuff, and you go through and you're like, oh wow, that was actually really short.
Yeah.
But we just play them over and over and over and over again, right? So.
But in general, Tiberius, I'm kind of with you on that. Like $60, that seems a little steep for me, but you know, I'll go out of my way and buy Uncharted 3 and some of the ones that I'm really really looking forward to, but.
The other thing too that's happening is a lot of the games are being a lot of the Microsoft games are you'll be able to play them on the Kinect. So a lot of their
and more Move integration as well.
Yeah,
and
more Move integration. So
with Move, I think every single Sony first party title and most of their third party titles have like Move integration.
Yep.
From the start, so.
Which is nice, I think. I mean, I don't have Move, but it's something I'm thinking about getting. I don't know. I've just been holding off.
Yeah, a lot of those shooters look like they would be a lot of fun with the Move.
Yeah, I don't have the Kinect or the Move. I'm still not – I haven't really bought into it yet because on Xbox, there's only 15 games that you can play on – the Kinect, so it's like
I don't have enough room in my apartment. You need a lot of room for the Kinect.
I'd have to move my coffee table out of the way.
I'm too lazy to move it back and forth.
That's my point. Yeah, me too.
So,
I thought you might be playing Zumba or Dance Center. I don't know, going crazy like that, but no.
Nope. Not me.
It's a negatory.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Tomorrow there's going to be a lot more stuff that's going to be announced.
Yeah,
so,
Nintendo, right?
Yep, Nintendo. Yeah, Nintendo. So we're gonna get some details on the new console that they're releasing and see what that's all about. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. So tomorrow, check out. Keep tuned into the site. You'll see a bunch of cool stuff. So, it'll be cool. I'm headed out there tomorrow to kind of test out some of these games and play them. So, poor me.
Don't even have to wait in line. Just go through into the special press area. They answer all your questions.
Yeah. So, some good games coming out. I'm excited. It's going to be a pretty cool couple years of video games. Now, I just have to find the time to play them.
Yeah, I know.
that right there is the trick.
Yep.
All right. Other than that, we've got Super 8 coming out this week in theaters. Ben Free and I saw Super 8 recently. And if you get a chance to see it this weekend, definitely go out and see it. We all loved it. We're not going to get into it right now. We actually recorded a special review podcast for that. So we will get that out to you later this week. I'm also going to put up my written review after E3 kind of dies down. So you can expect my written review probably on Thursday. And yeah, so keep a lookout for that, but it's definitely a movie you're going to want to see, so be prepared for that. On guys, are you there?
Yep.
Yeah. We're just waiting for your awkward transition.
That was epic.
It was.
I heard this weird clicking fuzziness on my end, and then I couldn't hear. It was like dead silence, so I thought I got cut off in the middle of that.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. All right. Sheesh.
I'm keeping that in the podcast, by the way. I love that.
Sounds good. Anyway, in conclusion, make sure to visit our store, geektyrant.me. Pick up a t-shirt, some sunglasses, some stuff. We've got stuff in there, so yeah, just do that. Free shipping, so you don't have to pay for that now. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geektyrant. And subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/geektyrant, where we have a video blog called Rants, which we will get back up and running soon.
Eventually.
Yeah. Eventually.
Eventually. I'm actually really waiting for Final Cut X. Is that what it's called? Because just the workflow looks amazing. And just importing, exporting, all that stuff. And it's really annoying right now. But anyway.
Gotcha.
All right. Other than that, thank you for listening to this podcast. Thanks for coming to the site. We really appreciate it. You guys are great. Continue to tune in and email us and let us know what you guys think. GeekTyrant at gmail.com and hit us up with some stuff like that, because that would be awesome. And also.
Yeah.
All
gonna,
right.
I'm going to plug our podcast really quickly.
Yeah, let's do that.
Since they're on the site, I don't really don't care, but
it's not. Well, you know, just for back episodes and stuff like that. I host a podcast called the Not Just New Movies Podcast. On this podcast, obviously, we're talking about the big movies of the weekend, and the other one that I do is more like just random stuff from film history. This past week, we talked about James Gunn's movie Slither, and we had Jermaine from Slash Film join us, so I'm going to get that posted.
You always have good guests, man. Always have good guests.
Yeah. We're doing pretty well as far as guest stuff. I'm hoping to get some big name people coming up soon, so we'll see what happens. But you can find all of our back episodes at notjustnewmovies.com, or just listen to it from geektyrant.com, which is where we post all of the episodes as well. So check it out.
Well, yeah, definitely. It's a great podcast. It's one of my favorites out there, aside from the Geek Tyrant Weekly. But I also have the Napier's Newscast, which is also on geektyrant.com. But more importantly, let me just give you a little insight about what that is. It's focusing not just on the new movies that are out, but we also have a topic each week that we discuss. We discuss random stuff each week and get to share our panelists' thoughts on that, as well as movie news, music news, TV, video games, stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. So check it out on Geek Tyrant or NapierNews.com.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks again, everybody. And we will talk to you next week.